Praise the Lord. Well, I want to begin reading out of Hebrews. I did tell you Hebrews chapter 11, correct? Hebrews chapter 11, and praise the Lord. Like I said, glad to have you with us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace with us, and thank you, Father, for giving us abilities that we know is not from us. I still think of myself as tongue-tied in front of that teacher when I was in high school, Lord. And yet you called me to teach your word. And so, thank you for leading us and guiding us into where we go today. And thank you, Father. I've studied to show myself approved according to your word. And I thank you, Father, for manifesting yourself in blessing for our people here present. Thank you for eyes that see and hearts that understand and people who are touched by your presence. We look to you for it. And everybody said with me, amen. Amen. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start there and we're going to back up then. Last week, if you remember, I started with a warning, and I shared about a personal friend who was a minister of a really beautiful church, a pretty good sized church. And, I looked up to him. Elaine and I looked up to him. They had a television ministry going. They were some of the early pioneers from Rhema Bible Training Center. And then I watched him make some financial blunders for his church and got them indebted. And I watched some of the main people in the congregation get angry at him and leave him. And I watched him turn a deep shade of bitter. And he fell away from the Lord. And he lost his family. And early last week, he died at 60 years old. Now, I don't like to start services like this, but I'm really sensing the leading of the Lord to do it. And we talk about issues of faith, and we think about making our life easier. We talk about clothes and nice home and a nice car and everything going good in our lives. But when God talks about faith, this is what he sees here. See this gentleman here? This gentleman is he's not in normal everyday garb, is he? He's dressed for battle. And see, when God sees faith and sees faith in our heart, yes, he sees war. Yes. He sees life and death. Life-changing things happen, right, when people grab a hold of faith. Amen. It's not something we do to, well, I want a pink Cadillac. I've heard, I don't want to. That's not what it's all about. Because the truth of the matter is, we still deal on this earth with the devil. And he hates your guts. He don't want you to have a nice family. That's exactly right. He don't want you to have anything nice. The truth is, if he could, he'd kill us all. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. So when we're looking at the issue of faith, and I don't know if you've thought about it, but if you have faith, all of a sudden now, someone sees you on this earth and sees you differently and sees you as an enemy now and sees you as dangerous, and that somebody is going to do his best to spoil your life. Satan is the spoiler of all things good. And so again, I want you to see and I want you to sense what I sense when we're talking about this issue of faith. I sense serious issues, life and death issues. I sense war. We're not talking about war with people. Sometimes it feels like war with yourself. Yeah. And so we're reading about these people whose lives touched eternity because of their faith. Let's read it. Now, faith is the substance, verse 1, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. This is where we're going to be camping today, Cain and Abel. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaks. I'm telling you, when you have faith in your heart, it changes your eternity forever. Yeah. And it changes the parameters of your life, whether you know it or not. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it makes you someone that the enemy is going to be looking at because he knows you're dangerous. If you learn how to operate properly in your faith, you're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Now, of course, our Hebrews chapter 11 has been called the hallmark of faith, or it's the heroes of faith. It's been called the heroes of faith. And in this chapter, what we notice here is we notice that these people took their faith and they did something with it. Amen. It did something with it that even they being dead, yet their life is a witness for all eternity of someone who pleased the Lord. Amen. And if you notice verse 6, drop down to the verse 6, notice what it says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can go to church and not please God. Yeah. Yeah, we can have people say all kinds of nice things about us and not please God. How is it that we're going to please God? We're going to please God when we trust Him. Amen. There's the phrase that I mentioned earlier, to humble ourselves and to trust in God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if go ahead and back up there. We're going to back up to Hebrews 10, and in particular, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. Cast not away your confidence. I'm going to tell you the one thing that the enemy loves to do to people is to get them to drop their confidence in God. It goes something like this. You're praying for something, and it doesn't come to pass. So what are you going to do? Are you going to be constant in your faith toward God, no matter what it looks like at this particular moment? I'm telling you, this is hard business. This is war business. This is serious business. Yeah. Or when you believe that the Lord has spoken to you about something and it doesn't turn out like what you heard. What does the enemy do in such times as that? Well, he wants you to curse God and die, don't you know? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what Job's wife said to Job. Just curse God and die. Yeah, you know? You have the children of Israel that saw all the wonders of God, and yet at one point they were saying, it was better for us when we were living in Egypt. Yeah. What's going on? The enemy is trying to steal our faith all the time. So what are you going to do when the pressure comes against what you believe? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Cast not away your confidence, which has great great recompense or reward, or great reward. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come. Thank God he's coming. I'm telling you, saints, thank God he's coming. I've lived 61 years on this earth, and you know what I found out? There's not a whole lot pretty on this earth. The only thing that's worthwhile on this earth is people, and sometimes they don't act too worthwhile. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Church would be wonderful if it wasn't for people, right? How many of you heard that? Yeah. But people are the reason why we have church. Yeah. Imperfect people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know the one standing in front of you right now is an imperfect person. Yeah, I've needed to humble myself on many occasions. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And it's an amazing thought that God so loved the world. The world he's talking about is not the globe. It's the people on the globe. God so loved the world. When we were at our most imperfect place in our life, the most rank sinner, God so loved the world. Glory to God that he gave his only begotten son. I can't tell you that my love has developed to that point that I would give something so valuable and precious as my own flesh and blood for the sake of somebody that was on their way to hell. But God did, didn't he? How much must he love you? Isn't that something? Yeah. Amen. Well, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel today. Turn with me to chapter 4 of Genesis. We're coming to the time when Adam and Eve had children. Verse 1 says of chapter 4, Adam knew or had sex with his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. The name Cain means acquired. Acquired. Yeah. And then verse 2 continues, and she bore his brother, Abel. Abel means nothing or vanity. Brother, another pastor in Tuscola, Brother Bob Yandian, Tulsa, I'll get it right. Bob Yandian was my instructor at Rhema, one of my instructors at Rhema. He said this about that. He said, when you consider yourself in proper light, you become usable to God. That idea of humbling, if you consider yourself as nothing. Yeah. Lord, I'm your servant. That's the attitude of the Christian. God, whatever you want to do, that's what we're going to do. Amen. And when you get to that place, you're becoming very, very usable for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Back to our verse. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Now, we're not told a lot about this in the scripture, but we do realize that before Cain and Abel came into the earth, sin had already come into the earth. Amen. And as a result of that sin, everything on earth was now tainted. That's the reason we have such the both good and evil. That's the reason we have terrible, terrible storms. The earth has been tainted by imperfection. The Old Testament uses the word curse. We all have to deal with the curse. You know, I get up in the morning and I have to brush my teeth. You want to know why I have to brush my teeth? Because I'm offensive to myself. That's the result of the curse affecting my body. Yeah. That's the reason we have to take baths. Thank God for bathtubs and showers. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of us, every day of our lives, without even realizing it, we're dealing with the effects of the curse that came when Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home. Yeah. And so apparently Adam and Eve must have taught their two boys about true godly sacrifice. And I'm sure they told them about the time after they had sinned when they tried to make clothes out of fig leaves and wrap themselves up, and that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. What the Lord did was the Lord sacrificed an animal and took the skin and covered his Adam and his Eve. They were covered now because of the blood, and it had a foreshadowing of what was to come when Jesus would come into the earth, and he would give himself as a ransom on the tree and take the curse of all mankind. Yeah. And so it seems that Adam and Eve had taught about proper sacrifice and the understanding of why they needed to sacrifice. One son remembered how to sacrifice and came to God in a proper way. One son went his own way. Everybody say his own way. Yeah. I did it my way. Comes from hell. You hear what I'm saying? We don't come to God our way. We come to God his way. Amen. And everything that we do as a result of God calling us, there's a purpose for why he tells us to do certain things. And there's a blessing for obeying his way. And when we do it our way, we don't have the blessing. And we can't get mad at God because we've done it our way, because we did it our way. That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, here in the margin of my Bible, I've got some notes that I wanted to share with you. Cain means acquisition. He's the type of the natural man. His religion was destitute of any sense or need for atonement. Seven things are said of him. Number one, he worships in self-will. Number two, he's angry with God. Number three, he refuses to bring or even accept the need for a sin offering. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm not as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer, who yeah, we always find somebody that looks worse than us when we think about those kind of issues, right? I don't know of too many who find somebody better. Well, I'm almost as good as Billy Graham. Nobody ever says things like that, do they? Yeah. So he is, he refuses to bring or even accept the need for a sin offering. Number four, he murders his brother. Number five, he lies to God. Number six, he becomes a vagabond. He's alone. Everywhere he goes on earth now, he's without God, without God's presence. I'll be very honest with you. I cannot imagine. I have a real compassion on people who don't know Jesus and how they go through the difficulties they go through without the grace and the strength of the Lord. They're living on this earth like God doesn't exist. And for most of them, they don't know that it could be any better than what they have. Amen? Yeah. Now let's go to Abel. Abel is the type of a spiritual man. His sacrifice speaks of the the atoning blood that was shed, and speaks of his understanding that he had need of confession for himself. Yeah. This was the type of Christ. Abel is the first type of that points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, Cain brought the finest fruit and vegetables to the Lord, which he had worked hard to produce. It was brought by the sweat of his brow. And he brought them to the Lord and laid them before the Lord and expected the Lord to be happy. But what was missing? I'm going to tell you what was missing. What was missing was he disregarded what God told him to bring. It was disobedience. It's kind of like one of Israel's kings. One of Israel's kings was told to go to war with a certain group that had been very antagonistic to the things of God, and the purpose, the Lord purposed that this was going to be the judgment of this nation, and they were not supposed to save anything from that nation, not anything good, none of the horses or the animals, and none of the gold. And guess what the king did? He saved the animals and he saved the gold, and he saved the king's life. And he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, I did everything you told me to do. And the prophet of the Lord said, what is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? In other words, you kept the sheep. You kept the sheep. Well, I did everything but that. See, now that's the mindset. That's the mindset that all of us at one time have displayed. Instead of being very meticulous about doing what God has called us to do. Yeah. And so what was missing in this was the fact that God told them all they had to present themselves to God first with sacrifice. This was God's prescribed way. I want to touch on this. We have to come to God His way. Yeah. No man comes to the Father but by me. Who said that? Jesus. What does that mean? Does that mean that we can go get to God through any other religion that we want? That's not what it means. It means we have to come by way of this sin bearer. Amen. This one that God, because of His love, He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And so we recognize what Jesus did at that cross, and we accept that sacrifice for our lives. Amen. I can remember when I confessed Jesus as my Lord for the first time. There was a recognition that this one who was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this one is the one that I am going to allow to be the Lord. Another word for Lord is boss, king. Yeah. Amen. And no one else will lead me but Him. He's already proved to me His love. Amen. Amen. And so we can do things that even look spiritual and miss what God wants. Cain is like a lot of religious people who work and expect some kind of pat on the back. But if God was pleased with the works of men, then why did Jesus even have to go to cross? Yeah. You know what the Bible says? For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift. Amen. Now the good works that we do as Christians now, we don't do it to get saved. We do it because we are. We're thankful that we are. We're so reminded of of His wonderful grace to us, and we just want to share that with everyone else. That's the motivation behind what we do now. Amen. But we don't do anything to get God's blessing. He's poured out His blessing when I was at my worst time. Amen. Amen. So Cain is like a lot of religious people. Now, when God does all the work, when we're talking about our salvation here, if I do the work of making myself good enough, then if I ever get good enough, who gets the praise? I do. Yeah. And you know, there'll be no one in heaven who's going to be shouting about how good they were. When we get to heaven, you know who we're going to be shouting about? What Jesus did for us. Amen. And so when God does all the work, who gets the praise? Who gets the credit? God does. Our salvation was planned, executed, and finished when Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. And from that moment on, God in His infinite mercy and grace has declared millions and millions and millions of people right with Him. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. And when does that begin? Jesus, come into my heart and my life. I confess You as my Lord. You're the Lord of my life. I like to say it this way. I've already made the wreck. I know what I can do. Jesus, I need somebody who knows how to drive. Amen. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. Well, verse 4 here. Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Firstlings means the finest. He brought the finest sheep, the very best of the whole flock, and he presented that sheep to God. Amen. And the fat thereof. Now, that don't mean much to you. But the fat thereof is speaking of the richest part. The richest part of that sheep. That's a type of our tithe. Did you know that? Yeah. Not only did Abel bring the finest meat to the Lord, but he cut them up and he brings the finest part and presents it to the Lord. And then and verse 4 continues, and the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. The Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. God always respects obedience. Faith and obedience are synonymous terms. God always respects obedience. Amen. Verse 5 says, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. He got mad. And his countenance fell. You know what that means? He started pouting. How many of you got children that like that pout when they don't get their way? Yeah. They've learned that through our great-great-great-great relative. Yeah. He got mad, angry with God, and he started pouting because he wasn't getting his work, getting his way. Yeah. He was wroth. His countenance... He was thinking these kind of thoughts, that God was unfair. Yeah. Cain was guilty of judging God. Did you think about that thought? You ever judge God? Someone came up to me one time and said, well, it's all right to get mad at God. You know, I've had some terrible things happen in my life, but I've never been mad at God. He's my answer. He's the one who's leading me into blessing. I'm not going to get mad at that one. I know who to get mad at. It ain't God. It's the prince of the power of the air. It's Satan, Lucifer. Yeah. It's that devil. Amen. Yeah. I just kind of looked at him and blinked. I said, what? Yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, David, he got angry. You know, David poured out his frustration. Yeah. I said, yeah, he did that. But you know what? If you read by the time you get to the end of the verse there, he got things right too. He was saying things positive again, wasn't he? Yeah. We have emotions. Sometimes our emotions get out of the way. Maybe you'll be frustrated, and you'll say something, and then you'll say, oh God, I know the truth. You're the one that's always blessing me. Yeah. Hello, anyone out there? Yeah. But here's Cain. He's very wroth, you know. And then in verse 6 and 7, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Sound like a parent almost, doesn't it? What are you mad about? Yeah. And why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Now, we don't speak King James, but let me tell you what the King James English is actually saying here. God's given him another chance. You know, God's the God of the second chance, right? He said, okay, we're going to start over again. Now, you can do it right this time. Yeah. He said, look, you've heard from your own parents how to offer. You know what to do. You know what to do. And you've seen your brother, you've seen your brother's sacrifice accepted. Take the example. If you do well, you'll be accepted. Why did Abel offer a more excellent sacrifice? Well, it showed a humility that was in his heart. Amen. He obeyed what he was taught about the sacrifice. And the reason he obeyed it was because of this humility that he bore in his heart. It was an outward work of something that was going on the inside. Yeah. You know what? So was his brother Cain. We have the opposite now, but it was an outward work of something that was going on the inside. Amen? And so, here with Abel, we find humility. And here with Cain, we find pride. In the human family, some people get surprised that stuff happens in church. Don't get surprised. That's what we have when we have people. In the family, we'll have a son and a daughter. One son or one daughter, you know, they'll be for the most part, their nature will be very humble and obedient. And then another son or daughter, they'll be a little more on the, what word? Someone said wild. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on? It's people. And what does God do? Does he throw them both away? No. He reminds you, if you do well, amen. Think about how patient our God is with us. Have you ever done well? Anybody, let me see your hands. Anybody here ever done well? Have you ever done not so well? Can I see some hands? Yeah, well, we're talking to the right group. Praise the Lord. If you do well, you'll be accepted. Amen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted now. So by faith, here's Abel. He's offering a more excellent sacrifice. And why did God accept him? Because of what was in his heart. And the Bible tells us what was in his heart. In Hebrews 11, it tells us that he offered a more excellent sacrifice with faith. It was with faith. Now, I got to do this. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this passage of Scripture, most of you in the church already know, is one of the big ones with us. We're talking about that inward attitude there. In verse 4 it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Now, in some churches, they'll take these passages of scriptures and they'll say, okay, girls, this is your scripture. Okay, guys, this is your scripture. You know I don't do that. Because what he says to the girls is just as thank you very much, with the guys. You know what God's looking for all of us? A meek and a quiet spirit. Now, what does a meek and a quiet, what is a meek and a quiet spirit? Well, a meek and a quiet spirit is this this internal yea and amen when you see the revealed word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know, I've been on both sides of it. I'm going to tell you what, I'll see the Lord, the Lord's leading me in a certain direction, or I'll read something and there's this warmth on the inside of me and a joy on the inside of me, and I just want to do that. That's the meek and quiet spirit. But I've also been on the other side when I don't want to do that. You can't make me do it. Anybody out there? Yeah. You know what God values? He values that meek and quiet spirit. And see, that's the picture we get when we think about Abel. He saw the will of God. He wanted to please God. And he sacrificed according to God's prescribed way of sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And so, and Cain was on the other side of the coin. And Cain was being rebellious. And he was thinking God was just being hard. You're just being hard. You're being hard. But no, God wasn't being hard. God always had a prescribed way. Amen. And so God says, okay, let's take a step back. You know the right way to go. And he says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. And if not well, then sin lies at the door. Now the Hebrew says, the sin offering lies at the door. So God's saying to Cain, if you'll do well, there's a sin offering lying outside the door. And the sin offering is the way to my presence. Verse 7 continues, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Hebrew is actually saying here, you will rule over him. He wants you to live, saints, without a past, just as if sin never happened in your life, never existed in your life. Amen. And there's only one way we can do that, is when we put our past under the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. He died for me. He died for my sins. Praise the Lord. Now, everyone say now. Now, I live for him. Say it out loud. Now, I live for him. Yeah. From that moment on, the moment that I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, from that moment on, sin didn't exist in my life. It had been branded on top of that cross. And the blood of Jesus was taken to the Holy of Holies and eternally remitting your sin and mine. Amen. Amen. So he wants us living above sin. Well, Pastor, have you ever missed it since? Yes, I do. And you know what I do? He's faithful and just to forgive me when I confess my sin. Amen. And so the inward attitude that I have and that every Christian should have is this attitude of humbling ourselves before the Lord. Amen. This meek and this quiet spirit who when we see the will of God with joy, we're doing the very best that we can to live his lifestyle. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The next verse says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. There are a number of words that are translated slew, but particularly with this, is used a word that is pretty unusual in the language, and it means to slay with a sacrificial knife. And so there's an implication going on here. There's something implied that's not outwardly stated, but it's implied. And the picture is this, that Cain is watching his brother sacrifice and watching God accept his brother Abel's sacrifice. And in anger, he picks up that sacrificial knife and he kills his brother. In verses 9 through 12, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth." In other words, because you shed your brother's blood on the ground, he was righteous, and now the ground will not bring forth for you anymore. It's a curse. You're going to be a vagabond and a fugitive. You're going to have to find a new way to make a living. And then in the very next verse, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now, we've looked at a lot of things in the story. The essence of what I'm wanting you to glean in this is the grace and the mercy of God. And you know, sometimes you'll be talking to somebody about the grace and the mercy of God, and they're going to reject it just like Cain rejected it. And you need not be surprised. Just go to the next person. And then other times there are going to be people who are very receptive to what you have to say. Those are the people that you are called to go to, you know. The other thing we can say about it is I just think about this loving kindness of God in that he gives us second chances. Amen. I know my little sister, some years ago, she didn't think she deserved any more chances, and God gave her another chance. Glory to God. Isn't that something? And her life changed. Praise the Lord. I think of my little brother. I think of my little brother, Ed, and some of you know my brother, and he was up to his eyeballs in the drug lifestyle, and God pulled him out of that. Glory be to God. And I think of my little brother Chuck, who was living the alternate lifestyle. And he, in the last year of his life, died a young man. That wasn't God's perfect will for him. And yet, in the last year of his life, he called upon the Lord. Yeah. Grace and mercy. Amen. God is the God of the second chance, brother and sister. Amen. Amen. And he is merciful to us. Praise the Lord. And all he has ever asked us to do is humble ourselves and trust him. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I could go on, and you do know I could, right? Yeah. Let's pray and use this time right now to humble ourselves to the Lord. And I don't know where everybody is with Jesus Christ, but if you're out of the will of the Lord right now, and you pray with me, you can find yourself right back into the perfect will of God, because we're gonna confess and repent together. And if you've never called upon Jesus as your Lord in your life, and you follow me in prayer, and from your heart ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, today will be the start of a new way for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then for the rest of us, every one of us have issues in our life that's been a struggle. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll give us the strength that we need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're just grateful for your mercy and your grace. And from even the beginning of time when we're reading about Cain and Abel, Lord, we see it over and over again in the scriptures about your graciousness with the human family. And the very fact that you brought a remedy to our sin for all who would accept it. And so as we pray out loud, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit doing its work inwardly. Let's pray together, shall we? Say it out loud with me. I thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. And my trust is in you. I'm certainly not smart enough, and I'm not good enough. But Lord, your perfect will came into my life the moment I accepted you as my Lord and my Savior. And that blood was poured out for me, and I accept the work that Jesus did on the cross for my sin and for my righteousness. And I'm so grateful that because Jesus is in my heart, that God the Father has accepted me and calls me his very own. I don't have to live on this earth as if God didn't exist. I can live on this earth and every day of my life sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening, for blessing. I thank you, Lord, for your will and your purpose being accomplished in our lives. And we lift our hands and we bow our hearts to your mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.